during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
And good morning. Good morning, everyone in the YK Delta. This is Nikolai Jokic. And you are listening to TalkLine this morning. Diane isn't here today. So it's just me and Grady doing the prompts. And we're doing this over the phone. So if there's any discrepancies, please forgive us. This is my first time doing, like, actual TalkLine remotely. Usually I'm doing this with either Diane or Peter, and I hope Peter, I hope you're listening. I hope you're doing well. Please feel free to call in. Grady will let me know, when we have a caller on the line. And as I understand it, we all already have an email. So let me, throw out the numbers so that everyone knows what the numbers are to call. It's, 907-543-5985. 507-543-2756 or toll free at 1-800-995-8954. And you can send an email to radio@kyuk.org. And you can feel free to have us read the email anonymously if that's what you prefer. So, Grady, good morning.
Good morning. I do. I have an anonymous email, and it reads as such. Chamai. If you want Chalista shareholders to be able to vote on Donlin, be sure to sign the petition. If you got one in the mail, fill out the postcard petition and send it back. You can sign the petition online, too, if you visit the No Donlin Facebook page. Kuyana, from Anonymous. And speaking of callers, I've got two lined up. First one on the deck is John Nick. Are you ready?
Perfect. Good morning,
right.
John.
John,
hey,
go
welcome,
ahead.
Mr. Nikolai, to your call in there. Hope everything works
out. Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Okay, I want to call about last week. I've been calling every Friday about the Jalisco Corona virus fund that they allocate to all our corporations. I never heard one answer of Tom calling about that. You know, this money was allocated for the shareholders, not Jalisco bailout, like I said before, not for Donlin Creek, not for scholarships, but this money was allocated for us shareholders. And I never heard a word or a peep out of Tom, the spokesperson for that. When it comes down to voting and all that, it's a never-ending call. We hear them all the time. Yet when they have vast amount of money that need to be distributed to the shareholders, it seems like it's under executive session. We don't hear nothing about that. Yet it's all in the news. Why is it such a big cover-up? Are they lining up their pockets before we come in second? Because they had shady dealings in the past, and I don't trust them with a lot of money. Like my brother stated, they don't know what they're doing. They want to be selfish and greedy. Guess what? If been misappropriated that money for the shareholders, it's gonna be under scrutiny under federal funding, because they have to have a proof of where it was spent. So maybe Jalisco finally should get a hold of us, because all the time is like this. That's why I don't trust them when it comes to a large amount of money. They keep it under secret. Why not shareholders? Let the shareholders know, just like you do when the voting comes up. It's repetitious every time you call about that, reminding us, and then to entice us to go vote by having the proxy system money allocated. Or if they didn't have no money, nobody would vote, maybe, because that's how it is. You have all these directives. Whatever happened to the two-year term limit? They don't even consider that anymore. That's how corrupt it is. They go against the word on everything they say. So anyway, I just wanted to air that out. I hope other shareholders are concerned too, besides myself. And I hope everyone please wear a life jacket, don't drink and drive, and be safe on the river this weekend. Have a good time. And do everything you need to do. Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Hey, just to clarify.
Pardon me?
You said that Calista has a 2-year board limit for their board of directors?
Yeah, they're supposed to have 2-year term limits. That's how it first started out. They don't abide by that no more. It's already set the way they want it. Anyway, hopefully someone else will call. Hopefully Tom will call in too. It's getting pretty disappointing being like this because you don't trust them when they do that. Thank you.
I know that they have a shareholder committee, a committee that you could submit questions and comments to on their
website. Yeah, that'd be a good program to have because you'd have all kind of questions that they'd want to hear. You know,
yeah, I forgot about
that. That and work that together as a group and then endorse these questions.
Yeah, I forgot about the meeting this year, so it was virtual and I was looking forward to it.
Yep.
Because not everyone can make it to these meetings. They're held in different villages.
Yeah.
But I had stuff going on, so I couldn't.
I better let you go there. Somebody else might want to call.
Thank you, John.
So the new refuge manager, Boyd, is on the call.
Hi.
All right.
Thank you.
Good morning.
It's John, right?
No, this is Nikolai. John just hung up the phone.
Sorry.
This is Nikolai. Yeah, no problem.
With Calista, right?
No, this is, I'm not nonpartisan. I'm just volunteering to host Talkline today. John was talking about Calista and some of his concerns there. As a shareholder, I was just bouncing back ideas.
I just wanted to make sure who I was talking to because I really believe that Calista is an important partner for Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuges, as I'm learning.
Good.
And we try to get on the call to just give updates and say hello. And I am the new refuge manager, so I don't have a whole lot of information to share because I'm still learning. And they say ignorance is bliss, so I'm very blissful right now, and I'm learning my way around.
Oh, good. When did you move here?
I just moved here on July 18th, so we're going through the quarantine period. Fish and Wildlife Service has a mandate to have all Fish and Wildlife Service employees quarantined for 14 days because we're very sensitive about the coronavirus, and we don't want anybody coming in that's a Fish and Wildlife Service employee to potentially spread coronavirus into the communities, especially the villages that we sometimes go to or often go to. So my family's going through that too right now.
Well, thanks for keeping us safe. Where are you coming into Bethel from?
So I'm coming in. I mentioned it last week too that I came out on the scenic route, I guess, driving 5,000 miles from South Texas up to Anchorage and then flying in from Anchorage, obviously, on the 18th. It's quite a trip, and I hope to be able to meet a lot of folks in Bethel and become active in the community. My wife and I both work for the Fish and Wildlife Service, so we hope to be very active in the community and increase the number of events and different activities that the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge can provide to certainly Bethel. You know, the visitor center is closed right now because of the coronavirus, but we're hoping that will change sometime soon. We'll be able to start providing more activities and opportunities for the public. I do want to apologize too to the public because our visitor center phone numbers and website, Facebook page, and things are fairly inactive right now because we've got some staff that have left and. We're trying to correct that right now. So just give us a few more days, and we hope to have things updated.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you calling in. And, you know, growing up out here in the Delta, having information is pretty crucial because, you know, we have to navigate between the federal guidelines and then the state guidelines. And then, you know, it just at some point it just becomes blurred. And so it's...
Yeah.
ability to convey information to people and, you know, get information out to the community through radio and through social media. It's a lot better than it was in the past. But, yeah, that's cool. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, thank you. We're going to do our best to improve that so that it doesn't confuse people, because you're right. It can get confusing with the different regulations. And so we're going to try and get our information updated real soon, and keep checking our Facebook page and website, and the phone numbers for our office are going to still be updated. So thanks for the opportunity to speak to people. Appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, Texas.
South Texas, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Well, thanks for doing what you do, and we'll keep calling in.
Sounds good. Have a weekend.
So I have Thomas from Jalista on the line.
Oh, good, good. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. I appreciate you hosting the show by telephone so it can still happen this week.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for calling
in. Yeah, you bet, you bet. Yeah, last week I wasn't able to call. I was in other meetings. Aside from that, I think I've called just about every Friday this year. So it was shared a lot of information out there. And I just want to say that, you know, no matter what the topic is, whether it's CARES funding, voting, or anything else, you know, it's really important to get the information, get the facts first. You know, there were several comments that were thrown out there by a previous caller. So to clarify, for the CARES funding, the tribal relief funding, to date, so far, the government has only provided funding to tribes. They have not provided any funding at all to ANCs. So there was a comment that we've received funding, and that is not true. That is not accurate. So just want to clarify that.
Thank you for
the
that.
Other part. Yeah, you bet. And we've actually shared that information several times. There was a KYUK interview that talked about that, and I've mentioned it on the show too. It's been on our website and emails. So, you know, that information is out there. The other part is, if we do get funding, or actually anyone that gets CARES funding, they can be audited. The government has been very clear that any use of those funds has to be authorized, and it has to be for the use as provided. So like the tribal relief funding, the government has been very clear it is not for, compensation, salary, or anything like that. It's only related to COVID relief and assistance. So that's another clarification. And then the last thing I want to mention is, as it was shared a few times, any funding that Jalista gets, if we get any, we are consulting with the tribes on how to use that funding. So we had a call in June with the YK tribes, and then we had a call, I think, 2.5 or 3 weeks ago with the YK tribes and village corporations to start getting ideas that if Jalista gets any funding, how we should use it. So we are reaching out to the YK leaders to get ideas on how to use that funding. So I just want to get that information out there again. Any information, you know, please don't hesitate to give us a call or shoot us an email. Be happy to provide and share information. But
Mr.
all
Leonard,
that information is out there. So,
Tom,
you know, please, before, yes?
Yeah, what about that call-in show? We have them coming up in a week here? The Jalista call-in show right here on KYUK?
That's a good point. I'm not sure. I think our contract ended last month.
Oh.
So we'll have to Yeah, we'll have to reach out to Kristen Hall to see what's going on with that. Haven't heard anything yet. But, yeah, absolutely. Trulissa is always willing to host a Trulissa call-in show
okay.
so people can ask questions.
Well, that was first Wednesdays of the month. We'll see if that's going to return, and I'll definitely find out before next Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, I think it's second Wednesdays. Yeah, so regardless, however that happens, any questions at all, please don't hesitate to call or ask. Send us an email, our website, trulissacorp.com, our Facebook page at Trulissa Corporation. We've been putting out a lot of information there. We're here to work with everyone. I can't answer about, the allegations about, 20, 30 years ago. What I can say is that, we go through tons of audits. We go through audits all the time. And, for our board elections, the board changed it in 2013. So only the shareholder votes elect directors. The board doesn't direct votes anymore. That ended back in 2012. So the shareholders are the only ones that decide who gets elected.
Great.
And there you go. Hopefully that didn't, come out like a lecture or anything like that. I'm just trying to share information and respond to some of the comments that were made earlier.
This is exactly what this show is about. And, I listened to the disclaimer in the beginning of the show, I think for the first time, because in the past, I've been so nervous that I just listened for that cue, usually in the studio. And, Grady lets us know when to start talking, but now that I'm a little bit more comfortable and listening to the disclaimer and before the show starts, that this is exactly what this show is for, and it's for the callers to call in and put facts out there, and if there's anything not factual, then another caller could chime in just like you're doing. So you're doing exactly what this show is for, and I appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you. I love the show personally. It's great hearing comments, questions, concerns about, everything under the sun from shareholders. But, when it comes to something that you don't have facts on, just ask the question rather than make an allegation. I think that's just best for everyone. With that, I don't want to take up any more time, hopefully we'll be able to get our Trulissa call-in shows back going, and if not, hopefully either myself or Russ, our other comms guy, will be able to call in next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bira, birchi.
Have a good day, Tom. Oh, all right, Grady. Do we have any more callers on the line?
Yeah, I have Ray Bourne calling from Fish and Wildlife, so I'll say good morning to Ray.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. How's it all going there?
Great. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, a couple quick things just for everybody to understand. The BI site, we are getting ready to do the demolition project. That's going to start on August 10th. We'll be demolishing all the structures out there. And the site will be closed during that time frame, and we'll have a gate out there, and there'll be some heavy equipment. And ADNA is the company doing that this year. They're here right now working on a Kilbuck school, so they will transition out there and start working on that site. Is kind of the next step in the process. So kind of for the public, we'd like everybody to kind of stay away from that area. There are some contamination issues we're concerned about out there, and as the demolition goes on, we're going to take care of the contamination first, but we're definitely demolish all those buildings. So there'll be definitely some risk for the public, so we'll ask them to please stay away from there. So that's kind of the first message. The second message, last week you heard about our new refuge manager that is in. We also have a new visitor services manager, Gisela Chapa. She will probably start calling in to TalkLine to give updates on a weekly basis, but she's another addition to our staff that is a great addition, and she's looking forward to working with the community and the schools and then working on a whole variety of outreach programs and things like that. But that's kind of a quick update from Yukon Delta Refuge.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I don't know what Bethel's going to look like without those buildings out there. I see a lot of pictures of people going out there and, you know, they post them on social media. And I know that a lot of young people who are agile, you know, climb on those buildings, even though it's discouraged. But that's good that, you know, those buildings are coming down. It's kind of dangerous, you know, because there's no upkeep on them. So,
right.
Great.
Yeah, and we're going to honor the history of that location as well with a sign we've developed. And we're going to, of course, after everything's corrected out there, we're going to have an environmental education trail that we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the area from the wildlife and the plant species out there, but also talk about the history of that particular site. So we'll, again, honor that history of that site that's been so much a part of the community. So we're looking forward to getting that done in the next few years.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a transplant to Bethel, and I don't know much about the history of those buildings there, so I'll be curious to see what that's like.
Okay, well, again, thank you for your time, and we look forward to listening in to the future talk line.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling in.
Have a good weekend.
Nikolai, are you from Neposkiak?
I grew up in Neposkiak, yeah.
Well, Stephen Alexi from Neposkiak's on the line right now, so you want to talk to him. Here he is. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to thank Tom Leonard for clarifying the issue that the first caller had, I believe. And then yesterday during Katfakligu, a lot of people were talking about poor fish returning. And we have Kuskokwim River Tribal Fish Commission, and also Yukon has their Fish Commission. I think what those two entities need to do is get together and work something out and try to close Area M or False Pass, because a lot of fish go through that from the Gulf of Alaska and also to migrate to their spawning grounds, to close that. Because a lot of fish are, I believe, intercepted there. When I was growing up, I believe they had closed that for a bit, and fish were starting to return again. And then the other issue with the tribal really funding the corporations, downstate, the Indian reservations, which operate gaming and benefit their tribal members. As we all know, those tribes down there don't have what Alaska has, native corporations. The tribes receive all funding. And it's a shame that few tribes from Alaska had joined in to the lawsuit, along with those reservation tribes down there, because all this money will benefit all shareholders and tribal members. Recently, Chalista had incorporated afterborns to become shareholders. And we don't know how long this appeal process is going to be, but we could have been seeing those benefits by now if the reservation tribes downstate didn't sue Alaska, saying that Alaska Native corporations are not tribes. From my point, we are tribes, Native corporations, because they're, you know, one entity is for profit and the other is non-profit, which are the tribes. Social services, and the corporations are like economy driven. So those are my two cents. I'd like to thank you guys for, and welcome the new refuge manager to the Delta. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Those are very good points. You know, I agree with that. And the fact that tribes, there's a differentiation between tribes and corporations, one for profit and one not for profit. You know, it kind of muddies the waters. So thanks for calling in and explaining that. Grady, do we have any more callers?
Yeah, I have, before break, we can fit in Susan from Bethel. So good morning, Susan.
Oh, good. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, good morning. Just want to let you know, every Friday, from 4 o'clock till it ends, and it usually ends before 5, we do produce and dairy giveaway. And this is through a Farmers Relief grant that the AC store headquarters wrote. And this time around, we might have some produce boxes from Myers Farm, too. So if we run out of produce, we got the other produce, too. And again, it starts at 4, and it's not based on income or resources. This is for anybody and everybody, and it's been weekly. And I love seeing how people share the boxes or get boxes for a neighbor going through something. Or they'll tell me, well, I have so much left from last week that I'll skip this week and come back next week. So that gives even more people a chance to benefit from this. And yeah, I do have several volunteers committing to do it, help me this week, and any volunteers are welcome. And again, this isn't income-based. It's not food bank. And I'm not sure when the next food bank is. That has a new chairman, so they're still deciding that. But this is every Friday in August. Every Friday it'll continue. And for September, we'll see what else we can do. It might end then. It might be something different. But as long as the here and now, we're doing it every Friday. And I just want to thank people that do help, and I thank people that are looking out for others when they get those boxes. There's a big assortment of really good food in them, healthy, wholesome, fresh food. And also, I want to put in a plug for a fundraiser coming up tomorrow. The fundraisers are few and far between during this virus. So this is Friends of Canine. They're doing a food truck deal and picnic, social distancing from each other at the seawall. And front of Cesari's and that area, there'll be some food trucks and some food. And people can buy it and go home with it or enjoy a picnic at the seawall if the weather's good. And that's going to start at 11. It goes from 11 till 2. And that's benefiting the Friends of Canine.
So, Susan, how can people get a hold of you to volunteer for the Every Friday thing?
Sure, anyone can volunteer. I know a lot of things going on around town. And my landline phone number is 543-4368. And that's in the phone book under Susan Taylor. And it has a recording. So I always check that. That's how I get a lot of my people. And I do have a cell phone. It's 545-7524. And that's better if you text. I don't answer it if I'm driving. That's better just to text that one, 545-7524. But or you can just meet me at the deal today, the giveaway, because I get to meet people that way too. And I do want to, you know, I've lived out here since 1984, and I'm not a Shalista shareholder by any means, but I want to say that over the years that I've been here, I think it's the most transparent and most open and most inclusive of people's input that I've ever seen all the years I've lived out here. Okay, other than that, everyone have an awesome weekend, and appreciate all the things we do have. Look out for each other. And stay safe and stay strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And thanks for putting in a plug for the event that's happening at the seawall tomorrow. Shaved Ice will be there, too. And they have some very good shaved ice.
Well, it's so about Grady. Time for a break. So, Nikolai, we're going to let people wash their hands. Everyone stay with us. Callers, don't hesitate to call in because I'm still watching those phone lines at 543-2756, 543-5985. 1-800-995-8954 and emails to radio@kyuk.org. Thanks for holding on, Nikolai. And we'll be back at the break. The break's going to be just about 2 minutes long. So thank you for holding. You're listening to Talk Line.
IHSR tribe at Nunakbagni Lunau Lugi Dalgunak Dumavun Yuskumatkin igayoryu matren qayaga khomuzvin khallupaqlugu healthcare.gov khallu qayaga gulugu 1-800-318-2596 unak ingonin qhtuqwakin Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
If you become ill with COVID-19, do you know who will care for your children? Have you established your circle of support? Your circle of support plan should be in place before the need occurs and include people who are not at high risk of developing COVID-19. The state of Alaska and multiple nonprofit organizations have created a planning tool to help you be prepared. Please visit www.covid19.alaska.gov and scroll down to resources where you'll find the link Planning for Families with Children to get started today.
I hope you had time to wash your hands. You're listening to Talk Line with Nikolai Jokey.
And good morning. Thank you, Grady. So I understand that we have Mary on the line. Good morning, Mary.
Go ahead, Mary. Mary?
Mary, are you still there? We must have lost her.
Mary, you'll have to call back.
Okay, yeah.
Hey,
So, Mary, if you're listening, give a call back. We must have lost you there.
Hey, Nikolai, several gillnet restrictions on the Kuskokwim River main stem will lift tonight at 12:01 a.m. That's 12:01 a.m. August 1st. At that time, subsistence gillnets can be any size mesh and can stretch 300 feet in length above and below the Johnson River from the Kuskokwim River mouth to the headwaters. Now, more on that in a second, but I think Mary's called back. You're on talk line. Go ahead.
Yes, Harry Jackson.
Hello, Harry. Go ahead.
I just turned on the radio and I overheard that they're doing demolition up at the BIA site.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quickly went down memory lane because pretty much that's where I grew up first 3 years when we lived down there in Bethel. My dad was working as a plumber for BIA.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of memories down up in that area. That's where I broke my leg. Recovered there. And also, my dad even brought me out. We would run together towards White Alice site. You know, this was after breaking my leg. I guess it was his way to encourage me to get off my feet and, you know, help recover from my leg being broken. Also, that's where I first learned how to ride a bike. A lot of not so enjoyable memories of biking as I, you know, fall over and scrape my knees or even my elbows. But I survived. I'm still here. I can't really remember who was one of my younger sisters who was the baby then. I believe it was either Samantha or Carla, but I think it was Samantha when we moved away from there. We also had neighbors of Lake Andrew. Andrew, he used to work for BIA also. I don't know as what, but They were our neighbors, as well as Rhonda Bellett, Ryan Bellett. I can't remember who the parents were, but those were the brother and sisters that were our neighbors, a few houses over. But yeah, that's memory lane just opened up about the BIA. But I'm happy that they finally got around to tearing that place down, because I believe that it was a very big, dangerous health hazard, mainly asbestos-wise, that those old buildings. I'm happy that they only got to tear that place down. And that's all I got to say this morning.
Well, thank you, Harry. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Everybody, enjoy your weekend.
So it
have
sounds
a good weekend, Harry.
It sounds like people had not just memories like I have, recent memories of BIA, but fond memories of when BIA was the facility that it was. Now, Nikolai, you remember. Tell me about that.
Well, I don't have any, like the BIA site in Bethel. I have no clue, like, what happened there. So I'm curious to see what they do with carrying on that legacy. But in the Pontiac, my grandpa was, he worked for BIA and was a custodian for the school there. And we recently finally tore down all of those buildings to build a new school that's in the Pontiac. So, yeah, I know that there's a lot of memories and a lot of, and the only memories that I have of the BIA sites in the Pontiac is the very, the paint, the lead-based paint that they had on the building stuck so well, and it withstood the test of time.
Calling
the weather here.
Calling in from Eek, Alaska, we have John. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from Eek, Alaska.
Good morning.
Okay, yes, good morning. I just wanted to call over there and comment Tom about what he said or explained. What he was saying was absolutely correct, absolutely right. If I was going to be talking about something, then I must write out everything that I can, otherwise it would be speculation, that it was guessing. About the funding that I heard just a bit ago or this morning, all the fundings must be utilized. They don't go in one direction. That's because one say does not mean just that due to the rules and regulations. I just wanted to call out and say that. Thank you very much.
And thank you, John. And I hope that Mary will call in. Did she call back?
You know, I'm having some difficulty with a couple inbound callers this morning, getting some distortion when I pick up the line. So I don't know if it's GCI issue or perhaps a equipment issue on some caller's end. But I encourage callers to try other numbers. All those numbers, again, are 543-2756, 543-5985, or 1-800-995-8954. And if you call in and just don't hear anything or seem to be just cut off, try another phone, because I have experienced, like I said, a couple of more than three, actually, callers today have called in, and there's been some distortion. Nikolai, I'm going to grab a call, so go ahead.
Yeah, so and feel free, if you have your phone, you know, you have email on your phone, send us an email to radio@kyuk.org. And if you so choose, you could also ask us to read your email anonymously.
I think we have a long-time listener, first-time caller calling in. It's Diane McGagran on the line. Diane?
Oh, my gosh. Good.
Oh, am I on?
Yes.
You're on.
Oh, my. I'm so excited. I'm calling Talk Line. This is Diane McGagran. Nikolai,
good
thank
morning.
You so much for
yeah.
stepping in.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, I just wanted to say I got in yesterday from Anchorage. And I didn't want to do Talk Line from my cell phone from my house. I just didn't think it would work out very well. So thank you for doing that. But I want to encourage, beg, plead everyone, please, when you come in from Anchorage, get tested. Not very many people on the fully booked plane that I was on actually took advantage of the free testing, and I wish everyone would. It's not painful. It wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be to get tested. So I hope people will do that. And the second thing is, not only should you get tested, but you really should quarantine yourself. YK is saying up to 14 days. Some doctors say 10 days. But it's not enough to be tested at the airport. You really have to quarantine and be super careful for, you know, 10 to 14 days after you return, because you could have it, not test for it, because it, you might have gotten it the day before you got on the plane to Anchorage. So it won't show up on your Anchorage, your Bethel test. And the other thing is, like me, I'm going to take the free test next Wednesday. And that's another backup you could do, is come in, get tested, quarantine yourself, get retested for free on Wednesdays at the YK HC parking lot. And that way, you know, you feel really protected. Last thing I'll say is, if Bethel had mandatory masks and mandatory testing and quarantine, we could open the schools fully in Bethel. All businesses could be open fully, and agencies could be assured that there was a lot of safety in Bethel. We don't have that right now. So, of course, we've got to do these continual decisions about, should we open or not? Is our agency going to require masks or not, or this business or not? So, anyway, that's my COVID call-in. What do you think?
I like it. Thank you for sharing the information. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
It's my first time calling the show. Yeah. Long-time listener. That's right. So I'm really grateful that you're there doing that. I think YKHC, they put out a little poster about kind of what I've just talked about. It's up on their page, a little visual that kind of gives you a timeline. So everybody can go ahead and look for that. But we don't have community spread at this time in villages or in Bethel. So
callers backed up here, so...
Oh, I don't get my 5 minutes. Oh, I see how it goes.
Well, they might misconstrue you as a host.
I'm not the host today. I'm just a caller.
Does that mean you get to express all your opinions now?
Yes, I guess to rush them out. No, I'm not going to do it. Anyway, okay, I'll go. Didn't realize I wasn't. Maybe I just get 3 minutes. All right. Well, you guys have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Diane. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling in.
That next caller is Wilson Green from Bethel. Beautiful downtown Bethel, he likes to say. Wilson Green.
Hey, good. Yeah, beautiful downtown Bethel. This is Wilson Green. I can say, you know, I've never been actually to BIA when it was being lived in and all that, because I thought it was for people from... You know, I thought dumbly when I was a little kid, I thought it was foreigners, they belonged there, not Bethelites, so I didn't know nothing about BIA. But anyway, I'm glad they're going to clean up the site. It's been rainy, which is good. The more blackberries are budding up, I guess. I never looked at the tundra, but I know in a couple more weeks, people will be using those little... scoop bucket thingies to catch the black berries. That's one of my favorite berries when it comes to making a gudeg. Man. Anyway, more on subject of Bethel. You know, the other day the police were called. It seemed like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like Bethel police, they don't know nothing about tasers or nonviolent. You know, when they kind of subdue someone in a nonviolent way, I don't think they know nothing about that. I don't know if they get training on to use of tasers, but, you know, they pull their guns out. Someone that was intoxicated, you know, and they even, you know, I don't know. I think they just need more training. Whoever's acting police chief, I think they should make it mandatory for them to know how to defuse and or know how to use that taser. Because if someone who just has a knife or a bat or whatever, you know, there's nothing wrong with tasers. You know, I'd even volunteer just to see how it feels, you know, because that's me. I'm glad Diane Collins made it sound like a familiar or similar or normal talk show. I'm glad Nikolai's there. And same thing for you, Grady. You're Bethel, KYUK. But I want to pay homage and tribute to that little story I seen on KYUK. I mean, it was on Facebook about Peter Twitchell. You know, his actually Mr. KYUK himself, Peter Twitchell. You know, good man from Bethel. And anyway, I hope the police get schooled on proper use of authority, you know, because just because they have a badge does not give any, whether it's in Alaska or Lower 48, doesn't give any police the right to misuse that power. You know, the main purpose of police, in my eyes, and in majority's eyes, is to protect and serve, you know, and or the police are getting a bad rap when it comes to following and abiding by that main requirement of the police department, protect and serve. They are failing badly. Anyway, I'm going to listen because I love talk show. Bye.
Thank you, Wilson. And just to put a plug in for the Public Safety and Transportation Commission, I just plugged in the cityofbethel.org on my computer. And when you click on the government and go to the different commissions, the Public Safety and Transportation Commission meets on the first Wednesday of every month. And they also have information if you're like Wilson, and you know, if you have questions, you want to know what kind of training police are getting, give them a call. The number is provided on the website because they are funded through public funds. It's 907-543-3781, or you could email them, police@cityofbethel.net, if you want to get that information. And please come to these meetings. They've got the packets available online. They've got agendas and stuff like that. So get involved. It's very important for the government to hear, you know, the input from the people that it serves.
Holding?
Thank you.
Holding then Renee from Bethel.
Hey. Yes.
Good morning. Good morning. I'll try to be as short as I can. I have a couple of things to catch up on. The first one that I'm really want to encourage everybody in the Delta and the state and the country is to do the census. All of the funding that comes from the federal government is based on how many people fill out the census. And if we don't have good representation and people don't fill out those applications, we are going to be in trouble because that's how the native councils, the corporations, all of the grants that get written, all of the highway, all of the school funding is based on the numbers from the census. So if you haven't done it, please fill out the forms you've received or go online, do your census. It's very important that everybody does that. And the other thing to tie in with that is if you haven't registered to vote, register. Everybody needs to vote whatever your opinion is, whatever your inclinations are. This is our right and our opportunity to say how our government is run. So please register and please vote when the time comes. Now, on to other things. The gift shop over at the Cultural Center is going to try to start opening via appointment only. And that will be on, let's see, tomorrow is the 1st, so that would be like on the 4th, I think Tuesday the 4th. You can call in and make an appointment to come in the gift shop with Eleanor between 12 and 4 p.m., and the number to call is 543-4585. She will take appointments, and we will have hand sanitizer and wipe down everything, and we'll let one person in at a time to come and shop. And as you all know, the gift shop supports local artists, and this is how they make money. And we haven't been able to get them any checks since, like, March. So I encourage you to buy local and stop by the gift shop. Call Eleanor, 543-4585, Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 4. The last one, we've been meeting on the steel salmon. We're hoping to have our auction still on October 3rd. We've tentatively been working on some virtual auction ideas so that we might just do it via distance. We're also hoping that maybe we can do some limited in-person auction with social distancing, only allowing a certain amount of people into the cultural center if the university gives their approval for that. So artists, if you've got one of the steel salmon or ravens, keep working on it because we are going to have the auction. And I have three left. If somebody would like to do one, they should contact me at 545-4468. I'd be happy to talk to you about this or any of these other things. So, Grady, I hope I made it under 5 minutes.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
One of my friends, Shaylee Nelson, was decorating one of those steel salmon, and she was doing a great job. Do you have any callers?
I got them back. I got them backed up and waiting patiently. Next on the line is Buck Bukowski from Bethel.
Good. Hi, Buck.
Good morning. I'd like to put in a word about the testing for the coronavirus. Recently, I had a granddaughter and her mom fly out from the Kenai Peninsula. They flew back home to the village, landed in Bethel, got tested. And I made certain they got tested. And then they spent the night at my house. And then next day, they flew out to the village. 10 days later, they came back after being in a village 10 days. And I asked them, so how were your test results? And they said, we got no test results. And then they spent the night at my house, and they got on the plane and flew back to Anchorage and then flew out to the Kenai. The testing isn't worth anything if it isn't more rapid. It's got to be more rapid. They went to a village. How many people did they meet and hug and shake hands? You can't help it. You're going home to your village. You're going to get hugs. You're going to get hellos. You're going to visit. You can't help it. You know, you say quarantine. What's the sense of going home for a funeral to sit in quarantine for 10 days, 12 days, 14 days when you're only there 9 days and you're back the next day? There's got to be a better way of testing, or they're never going to be able to stop the virus once it gets out here. I mean, they got billions of dollars going out for everything else. They got to get some testing. YK has got to start screaming about better testing, or it's going to hit this Delta and wipe us out. They got to get better testing. Anyway, that's my spiel for today. Thank you. Thank you, Buck.
Last call before break, we got Robert Hoffman from Bethel.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hey, Bobby. Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to change the subject a little bit. Yesterday I listened to the Eskimo talk show, and the majority of them called in. They were still confused of why they're being regulated on the fish, and regulated and allocated so much fish. Okay, the reason why I'd like to let them know is because the state of Alaska has a mission to make sure that a proper escapement is made, and all the rules and regulations are due to the escapement of fish up the creeks, and that is done only by the state of Alaska. What we really need, and I hope somebody tells them on the Eskimo talk show, what we really need is a verification. We need the 56 tribes or 55 tribes to get together, look for money to formulate their own counting system along with the state of Alaska, just to verify that the numbers of escapement are true. And that's the only way that the people are going to have some say-so, if they could formulate their own counting system along with the state of Alaska's counting system to verify their count. And until that is done, we are going to continue to do what we're told and how to do it and when to stop. That's the only way our people... I hope somebody will inform them on the Eskimo talk show. I'm an Eskimo and I talk, but I don't want to make a mistake. It's so important that it's got to be done right. I hope that clarifies, that will clarify the people's questions about why we're getting this and that and what kind of nets to use and how long the nets. We will not have no say-so until we also get to verify, to be assured that the state of Alaska counting system is correct. Okay?
Kuyana, Bobby?
Yeah, thank you. Bye now.
All right. Do you have time for another caller?
Well, there's not a caller on, but it's that time of the show where we take a little break, give people a chance to wash their hands if they're glued to the radio and the like.
All right, sounds good. We will see you here in a couple minutes.
All right, I'm going to continue to watch these phone lines, though, and so callers can call in 543-5985, 543-2756, or 1-800-995-8954. Alternatively, you could email radio@kyuk.org, and all of these things can be done anonymously. You're listening to Talkline on KYUK.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
AVCP's benefits division offers a variety of services including energy assistance, TANF, and burial assistance. Workforce and benefits navigators are available in 33 tribal job centers across Waikei Delta to help you determine the services you qualify for. More information is available by contacting your AVCP navigator at your nearest tribal job center or the AVCP's benefits division at 543-8650 or avcp.org. This message sponsored by the Association of Village Council Presidents.
Jaliwin ka COVID-19 am changaklim akhtuma. Agit kun ikayok kang yuk ngasyutin, Bethel Business Recovery Grant Program amag Bichtchanik, City of Bethlehem, Cares Actam, Akikanik, Una Kikiun, Jalaka, City of Bethlehem, Bethel Community Services Foundation, Amhu, Igayus Kluku, Awatim Tni Jali, Wignun Mai, Junch Kamtnishu, Emiriuk Nauten, Tingun Kolatiki Shuku, Katik Nachkok, Nashin Rivsariuk Nauten Grand Program, Amak Bakshuku, BCSFoundation.org, Kwashukayagarluku BCSF 20543-1812 Unakingunachtukwakin BCSF.
All right, and we are back on talk line. So I understand we have a caller from Bethel. Evelyn?
Good morning. This is Evelyn Elliott. And I'm glad I have a voice now so I can be heard. Sampi sends his regards from Anchorage or Wasilla, where he's hunkered at. And I'm glad to be back home, getting all this stuff done here and enjoying the berries and the whole thing, just being home. But I just wanted to have a word of encouragement and thanksgiving for all our all the plentiful berries and fish and moose and our people. And I just wanted to say thank you for all these God-given gifts of life and sustenance for our children and grandchildren. And do not forsake our beautiful God-given cultural heritage of respecting and protecting our beautiful land here and our beautiful state that is so vulnerable due to circumstances and during this pandemic and coronavirus thing. But it's all the rules and regulations are for our safeguard, and we thank God for over our human basic needs. We have to give thanksgiving for our providers and those who are in charge of trying to follow these oncoming rules for our basic safety and for our, and to respect them because they're trying and we just thank God for the providers, and we ask blessings for our forthcoming teachers and for our children and grandchildren, and that encourage families to encourage and remember parents are the first teachers. You teach the kids right from wrong, and you teach them how to follow rules and all these basic needs. They're there for a reason. And also, thank you, Lord, for the time being spent in our beautiful cultural heritage. And I just wanted to say, Sampi sends his regards. He was unable to come in due to health and hunkering in, but he's doing well and watching sports on TV and helping with the watering plants and gardens and whatever. And he sends his best regards to the VFW and all the members and all the families that we've known throughout the years. And God bless us, everyone. And we pray for each other. And I just wanted to say thank you and for all these people that are helping us. And
thank you, Evelyn.
Families to hunker together, and we love each other very much. So God bless us, everyone. Love you.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Have a good day and weekend.
You too. And do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, we do. Vicki Malone from Bethel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I just have a quick one. First of all, Evelyn, so great to hear your voice, my friend. Why do I have to find out you're here by having somebody tell me they saw you at the store? Call me. And I don't know how many people this morning listened to Dr. Jill Seaman. She was on KYUK Coffee, and she talked about her 30 years in South Sudan. She's returning next week to the South Sudan Medical Relief Clinic, which she has been running for years and years, and she not only treats, they not only treat hundreds of people, and maybe thousands every year, but they also train paraprofessionals to sustain the project. In fact, she has this really interesting woman that was a great embroiderer, so they taught her to do eye surgery, that disease where your eyelashes grow into your eyes. Now she takes everybody's eyelashes out because she's so dexterous. And then, so all I want to say is that the South Sudan Medical Relief Fundraiser, our 11th one, will be held. It's an online auction starting the 20th and going through the weekend, the 20th of August, and we're soliciting donations of items and services now. Just contact me, Vicki, at 907-545-5323. Get a hold of me on Facebook or contact anybody at DCSF. Kate McWilliams is the best one, but we're really hoping to get a lot of items, and I'm excited about this one because it's a great opportunity for village people to participate, and I know a lot of people after 30 years know Dr. Jill Seaman pretty well.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that information, Vicki.
Okay, have a great day, everybody, and be safe, and I agree with Diane, and it's lovely to hear Evelyn again.
Great, thanks. And do we have another caller on the line?
Actually, we do. Janelle Carl from ONC. Good morning, Janelle.
Good morning. I'm calling Tuckling to make an announcement about a recycling program. We still recycle. We don't do pickups anymore due to the pandemic, but we accept drop-offs as long as anyone who recycled the recyclables hasn't been sick in the past few months, basically. We recycle aluminum cans, number one PETE bottles, nothing else, no milk jugs, no tin cans. We haven't done a drying since April, and we're going to do a last drying until further notice, I guess. Last drying will be at the end of next month, so end of August.
Okay, thank you, Janelle. Good to hear your voice. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, good to hear you, too.
All right, Grady, do we have other callers?
No, but, you know, before that other break, we were talking about the gillnet restrictions on the Kuskokwim River main stem that will be lifted tomorrow at 12.01 a.m. That's August 1st. Or, I'm sorry, at 12.01, this is going into tomorrow. So, like, at the cusp of tonight at midnight, the gillnet restrictions will be lifted, right? At that time, gillnets may be used of any size mesh and can stretch 300 feet in length above and below the Johnson from the Kuskokwim River mouth to the headwaters. Also, the closed waters around the Aniak River, known as the Aniak Box, will be open to gillnets. So that's a current announcement.
Great. And I'm looking at the website right now, and it looks like the Mulchatna caribou hunt opens tomorrow as well, August 1st.
Ooh, thank you for that.
Yeah. And I see a lot of information coming out of Mukhtarvik, the new village from Newtop. And I was reading through a lot of those articles this morning because I haven't been keeping up on the news. And I took this time this morning to prepare for this show. And there's some very good reporting. And speaking of reporting, KYUK is looking for a reporter.
I'm happy you brought that up.
For that.
You brought that up because it's a chance. And I don't mean to express opinion here, but it's a good chance for someone from the region to be a news reporter. You know, that I love all my coworkers. I'm not from the region, of course, you know. I just think it's a great opportunity to get some very sound regional representation in the newsroom. That's just my two cents.
Nice. Yeah, and you guys have a good team. You know, I pop in and out of that office whenever I volunteer to do things like this, and the atmosphere is healthy. I mean, it's a very good work environment. They're very good team. And I was reading through a lot of this Mukhtarvik, and, you know, they're talking about the health conditions in this new village. And it was so good to read, you know, that the people there are thriving. You know, they were talking about the comparing between the mud flats where they, you know, where they escaped from, you know, that was eroding, and then going to this community where the tundra is right outside the door, and they're free to roam around and gather and hunt and fish, and it's just very good. It's very good stories, and it just makes me feel really good reading about that and seeing that they're doing well. I saw that their construction season started late due to COVID. But yeah, I mean, it's very good.
Nikolai, I have a anonymous email, not necessarily good news, but, you know, let's read this about some items that have been stolen from an elder's fish camp near Napakiak. Has been reported to Alaska State Troopers. This is coming from Anonymous. Someone had broken into a fish camp at the bluffs across from Napakiak recently and took the water pump, hose, generator, chainsaw, and possibly some other items in the house. Just a heads up, if anyone tries selling them, look out for water pump, hose, generator, chainsaw. They also left a brown sleeping bag in there that wasn't there before. That's the anonymous email for Elders Fish Camp near Napakiak rated. Contact state troopers if you have information regarding that.
Yeah, that is horrible news. I don't like when I hear, you know, fish camps being looted. Yeah. And I'm talking about the Bethel City Council. I was reading about it, sorry. They passed a resolution to wear face masks in public spaces. You know, they don't have the authority to I guess, reinforce mandates because we're a second-class city. But, you know, I appreciate the efforts of the city council to keep everyone safe here in Bethel and, you know, encouraging people to wear face masks in public.
I want to encourage people to call in. 543-5985, 543-2756, or 1-800-995-8954. Just a quarter hour left to talk line.
Thank you, Grady. And then just like that anonymous email, radio@kyuk.org, you could ask to be anonymous, and we'll read your email for you. Okay. And I'm just scrambling here to see, you know, different kinds of things that we could talk about. This summer has flown by so quickly.
You haven't berry-picked yet, have you?
I went berry-picking a couple weeks ago. I like salmon berry-picking. And it's the earliest. And then blueberries, we went blueberry picking last weekend. And then I prefer salmon berries because they're big and, you know, you fill the bucket a lot quicker. blueberries and smaller berries like that, I don't have the patience for that. And I hope that as time goes on, I develop that patience.
Have to scramble anymore because on the line with us now is Kate McWilliams from Bethel. Good morning, Kate.
Hi, Grady. This is Kate with Bethel Community Services Foundation.
Nikolai Jokey is with us as well.
I'm just calling to inform everyone about an opportunity for businesses that have been financially impacted by the pandemic. And it's the City of Bethel Business Grant Program. And it's for businesses that would like to apply for relief funds, for, you know, loss of sales or, safety measures for employees or, customers or for, adaptive, like, safety measures, in the coming months. And the deadline to apply is August 10th by 5 p.m. And you can find the application on our website, bcsf.org, or you can contact me at our office at 543-1812.
Thank you. You guys are an amazing organization, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on your board.
Thank you so much.
You guys do some good work. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And do we have any callers?
I'll be able to answer that question differently in about 2 seconds, so punt for
a second. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, and I was looking at some of the headlines on KYNK.org, and one of them is about LKSD to start school year a little late. And I know that LKSD was doing surveys, and I encourage parents to call in and do the surveys with the school, because that gives insight on, you know, giving the school a good picture of what we need in our community.
So that caller is Gregory from Bethel. Gregory from Bethel, you're on Talk Line with Nikolai Jokic. Go ahead.
Oh, cool. Good morning. Hey, good morning, everyone. I found a quarter and I found the coin slot for my landline. Anyway, yesterday, an unknown benefactor dropped off some dry fish, walrus meat, fish. And I'd just like to say, if you're listening out there, I'd like to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Many smiles, and I, that's it, I think. Hello?
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Gregory.
Okay, all right. Better to give thanks there than be mumbly grumbly. Okay. Okay.
I love hearing things like that. We have such a good community.
An attitude of gratitude is always a good attitude to carry.
And to spread. It's a very good thing to spread.
Absolutely. The caller's coming in. I was going to talk about some weather. Let me go ahead and take it live. Caller, you're on live with Nikolai Jokic and talking. My mistake. Shouldn't have taken it live. Today, scattered rain showers this morning, then numerous rain showers in the afternoon with highs in the 50s and south winds at 15. For the lower Kuskokwim Valley, pretty much the same. Rain likely this morning with numerous rain showers this afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s and variable wind at 10.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And how's your summer going so far?
It's going real well. I just dropped Yvonne Waska's call, so please call right back in, Yvonne, just my fat fingers. My summer's going great. I have my daughter coming up to visit, although I'm on the fence right now with recent news here and also where my daughter's from. I might have to err on the side of caution and not see her. But my summer's going great otherwise. Got puppies, love having dogs, and I'm having a good time. And I picked berries last week. I got a lot of them.
Nice. Good.
I'm going to see if this is Yvonne right here. I'm going to go right on live again. You're on Talk Line live with Nikolai Jokic. Go ahead.
Yes. I got cut off. Yes, okay. Yvonne.
Sorry about that, Mr. Waska. Yvonne Waska on Talk Line. Go ahead.
Good morning, Nikolai.
Good morning, Yvonne.
Yeah, one major concern that we have a river intersection now. And it's a big concern. Boats go too fast, incoming, outgoing. We've got boats coming out of the boat harbor from down BCS and then from Strait and Steamboat and then from the Lomac building. And people need to slow down and be cautious on that, what I call the intersection down there. And coming out of Brown Slough, we need to use common sense, slow down and look and slow down at least, avoid an accident. And I understand there's 50 fathoms they're going to use for fishing now. And rule of thumb, when them silvers are here, it's good to just throw out don't overfish, just throw out quarter net or half a net, hold on to the net and see what the scope of the fish are doing. Because if you throw that whole 50 fathom out, and sometimes more than once I did this, and you overcatch, and it's a good way to not overfish is to throw like quarter of the net out or half of the net and see what the scope of the silvers are doing and how much you're catching anyway. This virus is deadly. Use precautions. I see it on national news, and people that testify, I thank them for that, and those that live condolences to those that don't make it, but it's a deadly disease, period. And those survivors, they talk about it, I thank them for that, and it's deadly. So we need to be aware of that, and I think that guy on testing, we need to update that, and also Bobby Gaia and mentioned that also we need to have better testing on COVID. And last but not least, it's getting dark again. It's good to have boat lights and even them headlamp lights we use when we doing our chores at night. Those work good too. But anyway, going in Slough, Nikolai, there's tall grass, you know, and I have a lun boat, and up front I use a post, maybe 8 feet, or and I just tie a plastic white bag up on top. Even antennas will work, anything, just to know when you're going them sloughs with tall grass and avoid a collision there. And I like to bring that out, but in closing, to people, there are people. Their problems are our problems. And it's showing us what global warming does to a village, and their movies teaching us what problems they face, and also the positive side of it. So we honor to those merciful people when they on the news, but it's also in a positive way, teaching us what the village will experience when they have to move. And it's happening all over the world and Alaska too. And good morning to all.
Good morning, Yvonne. Very good points there. I like that.
So,
do we have any callers?
We do. Evelyn Elliott called in again for a PS, and good morning again, Evelyn.
Okay. Good morning again. This is Evelyn. I was born and raised here in Bethel and territorial days of long ago, but I was going to add a PS that in Bethel we never had prejudice, no black, white, or all this other stuff. Everybody was accepted for who they were and are from all the different villages, and having worked with the public, we encourage, I'm suggesting to parents and everyone to encourage healthy activities such as sports or games or music or stories with a positive attitude toward art. And even our young people that aren't working, they can. I encourage them to go online with whatever job situations are, so they could pursue their dreams of pilots, nursing, or whatever they're interested in. There's a lot of life goes on, and do what you and. What you enjoy, and I know it's having grown up in Bethel, all our people there, we had all these 60 villages and care workers that came from all over the world, so and our cultural heritage is so wonderful, but pursue your dreams. I encourage all of you college students or people without jobs, keep busy, do what you like. God, this is a God-given time to have hands-on with your personal life and carry on, and we thank God for that. God bless us, everyone. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Evelyn. And Grady, do we have any other callers?
Not waiting online. We just got about 3 minutes to kind of wrap things up and talk about what we talked about.
Yeah, good. This was a good show. The hour and a half always flies by so quickly. There's always those awkward moments for me where I try to scramble and fill in the dead air, but there's been some very good information. I like Yvonne's, you know, practical advice to just throw out half a quarter of your net and see, you know, see what the fish are doing in the river. And then I like his idea of the using the pole and, you know, signaling to other boats that, that you're just around the bend there, and wear life jackets.
Can we
it's a very practical thing.
Hey, I, you know, I got a second-time caller, long-time listener with Tundra Flower Report. Diane calling in again. Diane, hi.
Oh, hey. Okay. I just thought if I'm going to call in the talk line, I might as well do a part two like some people do. So this is my part two. Thanks for pushing me along, Grady, because if you have callers backed up, I'm really glad you did that. Thank you. And I just want to say right now, the Bog Star is out. This is a beautiful flower. It looks just like a, wait for it, a star. It's really cute, and it's low to the ground, and you've seen, they look like weeds. There's so many of them, and but they're just a beautiful flower. So Bog Star, get into it. Okay, yeah. So that's it. I'm going to continue my quarantining, and I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we're heading into August. Fall is coming.
So I just had to Google the Bog Star. Is it Bog?
Bog, B-O-G, Star.
Flower on the tundra. And I'm, okay. It is pretty cool. I like that. And I didn't know that, well, when I was picking berries and I was paying attention for the first time to, like, all the little tiny plants that are on the tundra, one of them kind of looks like one of those flycatcher things. Is that what those are?
No. Now, that's a sundew. There's something called a sundew, which is carnivorous. And it has little sticky droplets on little tips. And the fly, or the mosquito in this case, or little black fly, or gnats, noceums, they get stuck in that, thinking it's water. And then the plant disintegrates the little body and eats it.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yes, we have our own carnivorous plant on the tundra. So
I love that.
Don't let your children touch it or their finger could be lost. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
debate that.
You know what somebody's going to do? They're going to start putting mittens on their children when they go out berry picking. No, it's just for gnats and flies. All right, so anyway, I hope you guys had a great morning. It sounded like a good show. Thank you again, Nikolai. And
yeah, of course.
I am going back to my quarantini.
Thank you for calling in again, Diane.
You're welcome. All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, there it is. Nikolai.
There we have it. We have a carnivorous plant on the tundra.
Well, any last thoughts, Nikolai? Plants.
I'm just looking at plants now on Google.
Well, don't get too distracted. You know that caribou hunt, the Malchatna caribou hunt opening today despite low population numbers is a story that's running on KYUK. So if you wanted more information related to that tidbit of information that Nikolai brought up, you can find it there on KYUK. And Nikolai, just wrap it up. We've hit the end. We've hit the post.
Good. And like I said this out quickly, and I'm always glad to see that we have so many people in our region who are engaged with what's going on, and they're not afraid to express opinions, and they get and we just become involved, and it's always so good to see that. I love seeing that because in a lot of ways, growing up in the villages, you feel like you don't have a voice, and you know, like Bobby said, we just feel like we're being talked to and told what to do, and it's good to know that, you know, we can get involved, and there's channels to get involved and have your voice heard. I'm delighted to be a part of today's calling show. So thanks everyone, have a good weekend, wear your life jacket.
Good morning. YKHC encourages